the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty Creator, Thou who hast created everything that we see, and even that which we have not seen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we approach You this evening, beseeching of Thee, dear Father, simply to increase our faith. Dear Father, grant unto us Thy grace and mercy, that we could remain here in this place of a child, desiring the sincere milk of Thy Word. We ask, dear Father, give unto us hungering hearts for Thy Word, and give unto us hearing ears, and a heart to do according to Thy holy will. Dear Father, we pray as Thou Son hast taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our text this evening, for our devotion, I thought I'd read from the Gospel according to St. John, the words of our Savior comforting His disciples and comforting us from the beginning of the 14th chapter. And these words are in Jesus' name as follows. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it is important in our lives that God grants unto us a desire to come to the hearing of His Word. The Bible is a word of comfort, a word of reassurance. It is a guide unto us on the way to heaven, and it is the truth. I dare say this evening that in this land, there are hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps, that have settled themselves down to listen to God's Word. Dear brothers and sisters, we are so fortunate and so blessed that the Holy Spirit makes this Word live. It is the Holy Spirit that opens the Word unto us. To many, it is not so. It's important when we come to the services of God's Word that we come with a prayer unto the Heavenly Father indeed, that He would open the Word unto us, that He would give words of utterance and comfort and instruction. There was a time in the life of Jesus at the very beginning of that time when He first began to preach the gospel of glad tidings. On this particular time, He had returned back to Nazareth, where He had been living as a child and a youth. I would think that the people in that village would have noticed something different there in the home of Mary and Joseph. They had other children, but there was one boy, I'm sure, that was noticed. Jesus never sinned. He never became angry. He was never impatient. He never said a bad word. I would think that they would have noticed. But now He was a grown man, and He returned to Nazareth to preach the gospel. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke is recorded there what happened. Fourth chapter, 16th verse, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written. 61st chapter, first verse, and this is what He read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to them, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in a synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, This day is this scriptures fulfilled in your ears. And all bare Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. I don't know, Jesus, I believe, was a young man in his early 30s when this happened. When he was a youth, until this point, he would have worked, I'm sure. Perhaps he worked as a carpenter as his father had. Perhaps he had taught him that trade. We don't know. But this we know. The people of Nazareth remembered who this was. this was that boy, that child, that young lad who was different in that he never caused any offense. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. In one portion of the Bible, He reminds us of the rich and the noble and the mighty. Not many are found. God's Word touches especially those who are in need, those that are poor in spirit, lacking, carrying burden and sin. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to them, to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. One thing we know of Jesus, He loved sin-fallen mankind. There were many times that the Pharisees were offended at Him, but because He sat with publicans and sinners. We don't know what else He spoke in that synagogue. This is what is recorded unto us by our Heavenly Father. But this we know. Whatever more He would have spoken in there would have caused them to feel the effect of the gracious words that He spoke. Indeed, as the Bible here says of these words, and all bear witness, and all bear Him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. It feels good. God's Word is a word of comfort, a word of reassurance to the poor, a word of instruction, a loving word of rebuke. Then the Bible says here, and then they said, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? There's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. It's exactly as Jesus, when He taught of the parable of the sower, of the seed, how that seed fell along the roadside, in those barren places among the rocks. Some fell in those thorns. And even the birds came and plucked the seeds. Some seeds that were in the barren ground began to grow. And when the sun became hot, the plants withered and died. And those that fell in the thorns, they began to grow, and the thorns then choked them out. What happened here in that synagogue on that day? The enemy of the soul came very quickly and took that seed before it had a chance to do much, other than they marveled at what they heard. Such is the effect of God's Word. The Word of God is as a two-edged sword. It heals, or it cuts asunder. It began to heal just for a moment there in that synagogue. Those unbelieving people, they wondered at what they heard. It felt good. And then Satan brought the thought, wait a minute, this is that boy of Joseph. We know Joseph and his family. In our text, Jesus is reminding us this takes place now near the end of his life. He had preached many places to many people, always offering grace and mercy and forgiveness. Such is the message of God. A message of grace. That same message is heard in this world today. And the time of grace is still evident and before every man. On that final evening where this, our text, takes place in that upper chamber, the disciples still struggled over many things. They had argued among themselves, even then, yet, which of them is the greatest? Jesus told them before the night is done, you will all have forsaken me. And Peter said, I will not, that I will go to prison and even death for you. And one of the other evangelists records on to us that so said all of the disciples. What brings this portion of God's Word into very important context is at the end of the 13th chapter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We remember how Jesus had spoken unto Simon Peter. Peter, Satan has a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter would have felt pretty low, I think, at this point. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And then our text begins. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is speaking unto you this evening, dear brothers and sisters. You know, we live in a time where political correctness has brought onto our face evil and sin, and many in the world accept it. and they want us to accept that which is wrong. Every one of us, we struggle in our own place of watching. Doubts come, questions arise. Many times we don't have answers. Satan torments. Sin besets. Jesus is encouraging you, dear brother and sister, encouraging us. Let not your heart be troubled. It is so comforting, dear brothers and sisters, that we are here in a place where God has promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake you. I will lift and I will carry. Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stopped at the cemetery today. There was a question recently about our dear brother who served faithfully here in Cokato for many years. He died at the age of 68 back in 1981. Our brother Peter Nordstrom. When you see his gravestone now that is there, this verse is written on it. I go and prepare a place for you. It is the text, this text is the text that he spoke or was speaking from when the angels of heaven came to bring him to glory. A very reassuring text. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansion. We see and have seen mansions. They're very elegant and vast and very beautiful. Jesus is giving us a picture of heaven. The golden streets and the beauty of heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our Lord Jesus will return the second time on Judgment Day. You elders that are here this evening, when you were young in this land, people, the citizens, still had morals. They had a zeal of God, as the Apostle Paul spoke of his countrymen, but not according to knowledge. But they believed upon God. They knew there was a heaven, and they knew there was a hell. And they tried to do that which was correct before God. There was shame for sin. This is the time before political correctness. It was a time where that carving in our state capitol held true, where it said nothing is politically right, which is morally wrong. The words meant something then. Today, they do not. This lifestyle of the world is very near unto us and forced upon us and wanting us to accept it. And we cannot. But in many ways, we've become hardened onto it. And so that it doesn't seem so as it would and as it did unto you elders when you were young. Satan is busy. He is extremely busy seeking whom he may devour. And we who are but dust, weak and frail, of little understanding, weary, sleepy, often time become drowsy. There is much reason to heed those words of Jesus when he reminded his disciples there in that garden to watch and to pray. Dear brothers and sisters, it is important that we watch. And where is that first place of watching? It is here, in oneself. And then from there we go and help our brothers and sisters in faith, as we so preciously heard during our fall service celebration here. It is important that we help one another, we remind one another, we gather together, and that we speak of the way and journey, and sing songs and hymns of Zion. It's important to pause in our frenzied life. The psalmist said of God how he had said, "Be still and know that I am thy God." And thank God that he gives unto us these times where we can come here at the feet of our Lord Jesus and pause and be still and listen to what he has to say unto us. And I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the very essence and purpose of our life. Our goal is to reach heaven. This is a journey that we are on. This will end one day. As one elder mentioned to me this morning, how we leave from here, one by one, one by one. It's important that we cling to the gospel. That we have a desire to hear God's word. For, dear brothers and sisters, we need encouragement. We need reassurance. We need to be uplifted through the gospel. And, dear brothers and sisters, every one of you, God has given you gifts. Even you, beloved youth, you have God-given gifts. Use the gifts that God has given you to help one another. That gift that God has given unto us, it doesn't help. My gift doesn't help me. And your gift does not help you. But your gift is very precious unto me. And so that is why we need to remember one another. And help one another. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Boy, there are so many times when questions arise. Questions from the flesh. Many times we come to that fork in the road and we wonder. But dear brothers and sisters, the Bible instructs us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. No one of us has all understanding. And as we heard so preciously this morning, there was one man that was so gifted by God that he was the wisest man in the world. And indeed, he had the most treasure of any man in the world. When he was a young lad, and before he became king of Israel, he asked and prayed and begged of God to give him a double portion of that Spirit to lead his people. And as our brother related unto us, that wisdom, which was the most wisdom that man has ever had, did not help him get to heaven. And all the earthen riches that he had, he was the richest man in the world, did not help him get to heaven. What is important is the heart of a child. He was deceived by his unbelieving wives. Faith became obscured and dimmed, and at some point the Holy Spirit left. Jesus said, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. When we remain in the place of a child, dear brothers and sisters, the enemy of the soul cannot lead us astray. When sin besets us, we come onto those footsteps of repentance. And that joy and peace and righteousness blossoms within us. And it happens again and again and again. And as we heard during our fall services, when the disciples asked Jesus that, how often do I forgive my brother, till seven times? No, seven times in a day, that's actually quite a bit. And Jesus said, 70 times seven. So great is that forgiveness unto us. And the psalm writer reminds of the grace and mercy of God, that it is as high as the heaven is from the earth, so great is His mercy toward him that fear Him. The prophets of old have written how not even a fool will be led astray. And that's what we are, totally dependent upon our Heavenly Father. As little children, and we are safe and secure here in God's kingdom. And even this evening, dear brothers and sisters and beloved youth and children, freely believe the gospel that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I also need to hear the gospel that, can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven? I certainly desire to believe with you. That one instruction that Jesus left us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. It wasn't just an instruction unto those in unbelief. It was an instruction unto us, children of God, that we would daily seek the kingdom of God and that grace throne of forgiveness, to be reassured thy sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.